It's the Suncast Podcast, covering the Sun Conference and all its sports.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into another episode of Suncast. My name is Reagan Harrell. That man's Manny Burrows. And Manny, we have our bachelor's degree, my friend.
Yes, we do.
I'm proud to announce, and I think you are too, we'll be heading back to our alma maters to get our master's.
Yes, we will.
Well, congratulations to you, my friend.
Well, congratulations to you too, man. I mean,
thank you.
You had it a week before me, and I was like, I'm going to see you on the other side in about 2 weeks, so don't even worry about it. But no, yeah, man, it's been so much fun. I also definitely want to take this moment to thank you for allowing me to do something these past 2 years now that I could not even have dreamed of doing before. So I appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. You and Brian and Joe, what a job y'all did for the conference tournament on Suncast. Got the Twitter back up and going for that. I know we kind of reserved the Twitter for the postseason moments. That is what we will be talking about today. We'll get more back into Manny and I in the future and everything here in a minute. But first, the episode for today, lay out the format for y'all. First off, we are going to start off with women's golf. We're going to talk a little bit about the schedule for the Women's Golf Championship coming up. And then we will be going into the women's tennis, men's tennis. We'll talk baseball. And then we'll wrap up with, of course, what keeps me busy, good old softball. We'll start with softball and we'll come back. So I am recording from my hotel room up here in Williamsburg. Quick shout out to a non-Sun Conference school. Actually, I'll give a shout out to two non-Sun Conference schools. First off, Oregon Tech. Thank you so much for having me out there for that conference tournament. Sun Conference, sorry. So sorry. I wouldn't have gone if I didn't know we had a great team to be able to cover it. Already talked about that with Manny, Brian, and Joe doing a great job. Up here now at Cumberland's for the opening round, and knew that was coming up here. There's something that's been in the works, had it booked up before, but works out pretty well because we're going to be talking about this bracket here in a little bit because Coastal Georgia Mariners playing against the Benedictine Ravens tomorrow. But Manny, well, I love the Sun Conference, and I love Florida. And trust me, after being in three temperatures.
Yeah, that snow is no joke, man.
The Sun Conference has no reason to worry. You ain't getting me out of the state of Florida. It ain't happening. It was cold, but it was awesome. Great hospitality, great stuff up there. You know, the best way I can compare it, Cascade softball is kind of like Sun Conference baseball. The unquestioned best conference. It has been for a while, just like Sun Conference is for baseball and many other sports. That was a great time, beautiful part of the country. But Manny, another sport that once again this year the Sun Conference flexes its muscles again, women's golf, and we're going to look to bring another red banner home. Of course, the team leading the charge in that will be Kaiser. Actually, will be a Cascade school. I don't think British Columbia women's golf competes in the Cascade. Maybe they do. That may be inaccurate. I'm not 100% sure on that. Actually, they do. That would make sense. Yeah, they do, because Cascade definitely has golf, so it would make sense British Columbia to compete in that. British Columbia will be one of the main competitors to the Sun Conference for the battle for the red banner in women's golf. But Manny, let's talk a little bit about it. The 14th and the 15th are going to be the first two rounds. Let's go through it. Let's talk about the times and a little bit about the teams, in the Sun Conference battling for the red banner in women's golf. And where's that at? Where will this be at again?
What do you mean, the information, the doc that we got?
Yeah, but never mind. I just found it. Okay, I got it right here. Found it, so we're good to go.
I'll be honest with you, when I was writing up these information and all that stuff, I got a little confused with the scheduling for a second because I was like, how is this going to work? But I just wrote down what I saw and we kept it pushing. Like you mentioned, Kaiser, that is obviously going to be the spearhead for the Sun Conference champs. They're looking for their third team title, their second individual title. Then they also have Southeastern, who's looking to try and get their first title in both categories. We also have SCAD looking for their second team and their third individual. Two individual qualifiers, both were at-large bids. Heidi Demel from here in St. Thomas and Madeline Taylor from Coastal Georgia. They will be the individual qualifiers from the Sun Conference trying to get a national championship in their respective for their respective programs. But we'll start with Kaiser again, May 14th. For them, their round one pairing, they'll be in the morning, hole one at 7:50. All the times are central, so 7:50 a.m. I believe that's going to be, what, about 6:50 or 8:50? I'll be getting so confused with all these times.
So central time's an hour back. So it'll be 7. It'll be 8:50 Eastern time for round one. It'll be 1:50 for round two for Kaiser.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much central time, Eastern time, Pacific time with these past couple of weeks between softball and everything. But yeah, and then their round two pairing will be afternoon. Hole 10 will be at 12:50. Again, that is central time. And then on the 15th, they'll switch. And then I will go morning. Hole for them will be 7:50. And then afternoon will be 12:50. Again, hole 10. At Kaiser, I think, obviously, they're the favorites for the Sun Conference teams. Obviously, they're going to be the team to watch. And I'm very excited to see if they can bring home another national championship banner. And I think a lot of people have them pegged along with a few others from the other conferences.
Yeah, in this tournament, Manny, you're not much of a golf guy, right? So the way golf works, and for those let's say don't really know how golf tournaments work, it's like this: you'll have your first two rounds, and then there'll be a certain cut line. They'll take about half of the competition away, and then you will have two more pairings, the third and for rounds three and four, which will be the 16th and the 17th of May. And on the 17th, we'll crown a champion.
Nice. We all know your golf hat, I think, is only second to your softball and baseball hat, for being honest here. So I'm really looking forward to just learning a lot of this stuff when it comes to the golf world.
I'm getting there, man. I'm enjoying it. My gosh, dude, I'm putting. I am. Now, everything else needs a lot of work, especially the irons, but the hybrids are looking pretty solid off deck. But man, I sunk a 20-foot putt yesterday. I lifted out a couple 15-footers. I just changed my putter grip. So I was kind of going a more I don't have my clubs are down in my car. I brought them just in case.
I brought them.
But I went kind of with this grip here. It was going kind of like this, and it just wasn't working. So I switched it to a little bit more loose open. Kind of like this. And I just did a little bit more of my kind of like finger guns here. Mm-hmm. Finger guns, and just kind of shifting the shoulders back. Boom, boom. Nothing harder. Never trying to go hard or anything. Just almost like a pendulum. You know, like when you're
That's a good analogy. I like that one. I'm digging in this bag with that one.
Yeah, you see like the little metal balls that go and clang, and the further back, the more it goes. Doesn't matter if you throw it or whatever. So I just kind of try to boom, boom. And then from there, it's just reading lines and Jesus. So it's just reading lines and everything. But yeah, I've been having a good time. I'm sure that there are some Sun Conference folks that could help me out a lot more with that. No, there's golf. Hey, I gotta get the hammer. I gotta get Brad Niehammer, AD, James Simpson, our assistant. We gotta head back. But yeah, man, you know, this is another aspect of living in the great state of Florida. We have some great golf teams, but not only that, I mean, Coastal Georgia and SCAD, very competitive. Georgia, obviously, great golf. Augusta, shout out. Savannah, not far from there. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be a great time. You know, on the men's side here, and a little bit excited for that, especially Southeastern, the year that they had. By the way, the course will be TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. Don't know much about that course. Would love to play it, I'm sure, but got a feeling my score would be a lot higher than a lot of these great athletes from the Sun Conference going up there. But Manny, another sport that the Sun Conference does really well in. Of course, we have, like everybody else in the sport of tennis, have to deal with the dynasty of Georgia Gwinnett Grizzlies. They have, I think it's like 8 in a row on the women's side, 10 in a row on the men's side. They have won a lot of red banners there in Lawrenceville. But Manny, let's talk a little bit about the teams on the women's side and then the men's side. They're going to be going to compete against Georgia Gwinnett.
And for women's tennis, pretty much all the programs that are going for the Sun Conference, it's only four, but all the programs are looking for their first title except for Kaiser. They're looking for their second. Again, all the times will be central time when we talk about these starts. Kaiser, again, Sun Conference champions. They were 16-5 for the season. This will be their 19th appearance, I believe, if I'm reading it right. They're right now on the NAI website, it says 18 appearance, but I don't know if that means this will be their 18th or if they have 18 previous ones. So we'll say 18, 19 appearance for the Seahawks. They're coming in as the number two team in the nation. Again, they also won the second seed in the national tournament. They're going to play either the winner of number 15, Indiana Westland, or number 18, William Woods from Missouri. They will play on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Again, that is central time. The other two teams that will be waiting on a opponent will be St. Thomas and will be Southeastern. St. Thomas, 6-8 record this season. They'll be their third appearance or fourth appearance when talking about the national tournament. They're coming in as the number 9 team in the nation. Now, they were the 16th seed, however. They will play on Tuesday at 1 p.m. against number 17, Northwestern, Ohio. And then Southeastern will also be playing on Wednesday. They will be waiting on their opponents between number 23 Morningside and number 10 West Cliff. Southeastern, the 7th seed in the tournament. They were actually number 3 in the nation. Now, I will say, when I was looking at doing the research and stuff like that for the coaches poll, for some reason, they didn't have the final official one. So the rankings, I'm talking about number 3 in the nation, number 9 in the nation for these teams. It was the poll before that because for whatever reason, I just couldn't find the link for the latest ones. So there is a poll difference right there. So in case you guys know that, don't come at me. I'm just going off what the NAI website says. That's all I'm doing. And then the final team for Sun Conference will be SCAD. They're 11-5 this season, 19th appearance or 20th, depending on how they're actually coming at that. Again, two polls ago, they were number 7 in the nation. But right now, they are the 8th seed. They will play Wednesday, 1 p.m., either the winner of number 9, Loyola from Louisiana, or number 24, Ottawa from Kansas. Again, like you mentioned, Georgia Gwinnett is obviously the team to beat. We're talking about the national scene. We're talking about the Sun Conference. It's been Kaiser. They have been obviously been the team that has really dominated on both sides, which we're going to talk about here in a minute with the men's. But I'm very excited to see how teams like Southeastern, teams like SCAD, who have been able to play against Seahawks throughout the conference, go off and they try to play against them. And they're going to be favored for pretty much, I would say, 90, if not all, the Sun Conference teams should be favored in their first matchups of the tournament. And then, obviously, once you move on to that, it's going to be a little bit more tougher. But I think the conference got a good chance for, I would say, probably 3 out of the 4, if not all 4 teams moving on to the next round.
You know, I like our chances across the board, especially with Kaiser, Southeastern, and SCAD. It's, like I said, it's going to be so tough to beat. I've really talented and historic group there in Lawrenceville. But hey, upsets, this is postseason. This is May Madness. Hope we didn't step on any toes there at the NCAA with another month that starts with them. But sorry about that.
All I'm saying is this month is open. This month is open.
This is NAI's month. Gosh dang it. But yeah, so and again, this will be played May 14th to the 18th in Mobile, Alabama. God bless the SIDs right now. Jesus, thinking about Paul and Donnie, they got teams in baseball and softball and tennis and golf and everything. This will be played Mobile Tennis Center, Mobile, Alabama. NAI, they got full tournament guide. They have a championship bracket. They have championship schedule on the NAI website. So y'all can go there and check out all that for full details and scheduling and everything else. But yeah, Manny, let's roll on into baseball. So after a year that, we'll say it, a great year, objectively, any conference will take two top 10 teams, 3 teams making the national tournament. But I think we can say, looking back, a down year on the conference, obviously very disappointing years for Ave Maria and for St. Thomas. I'm sure Warner would have liked to have made a little bit of a deeper run, as well as FLOMO competing in the Black College World Series again this year, looking to defend their title. Great stuff there. I believe they've won their first 2 games pretty convincingly. So good stuff from Florida Memorial. But man, like I said, we have 2 teams in the top 10, 2 teams that are 1 seeds. I'm going to start my guys, Weber. Wow, Holy gets smacked there at the end of the conference tournament, but you know, it's fine. Things happen. Now it's time for the important baseball. Another phenomenal year for Colin Martin's side, 42-12. We're back right back where we were last year, where we got two in barbecue here in Kingsport. Just looking at a little bit of the year for Weber, six all conference members, six guys batting over 300. We have five guys with over 400 on base percentage. We'll see what happens game one against a really struggling Freed Hardeman team that, when talking to a few people from the Cumberlands today, they were a little surprised, really, that Freed Hardeman was in. Thought Georgetown would be the other team from the Mid-South, but really tough last 2-3 weeks of the season for Freed Hardeman. But that does not mean anything now, boys. Time to go to work. And get back to Lewiston. Obviously, a big part of it's going to be my guy Blaine Huter, sub-2 ERA. If there wasn't that guy named Darian Smith, I think this is a guy that not only would have been Sun Conference Pitcher of the Year, but certainly would have been in. And he still could be, sure. Well, I guess technically not with Darian winning the Sun Conference, but a guy that's going to be in contention for NAI Pitcher of the Year, a guy that's going to be a first team All American potentially, depending on how deep the Warriors go. But a sub-2 ERA, guy had 95 strikeouts and 81 innings pitched, 10-0. The run support's been there. I doubt he is who Freed Hardeman sees. I think more likely we see Dylan Martin pitch for the Warriors, maybe a Braden Matthews even. And then we have Blaine go up against either Columbia College or against Tennessee Wesleyan, two really strong offensive teams. I know that. But looking a little bit more at Freed, they earned an at-large bid with a record of 30-18-1, their ninth appearance. They've not won a World Series. They went 10-8 in Mid-South play. Mid-South, they okay conference. Nothing that's going to really shock you there in that conference outside of the Cumberland Patriots, who are definitely a contender for the Red Banner in baseball this year. Second time these teams played, first time was back in 2013, obviously a lot different. And I think maybe Colin may have been playing still around then or just got done. But team had five all-conference players, a gold glove pitcher in Houston High, and gold glove shortstop in Adam Smithson. Manny, what else can you tell us a little bit about Freed Hardeman? They're going up against Weber.
I mean, like you mentioned, you got those Gold Glove winners in High and Smithson. You also have a few other lines to keep an eye on. First team members in Jordan Carter, Colton Hunt, second team member in Christian Presley, and the aforementioned Smithson. For Carter, he leads the team in batting average at 350, in doubles with 17, and home runs with 14, and RBIs with 54. He has an on-base percentage of 465. So again, while the team was struggling towards the end, might not have had the season in conference they would have wanted, you still have some big time hitters, some big time playmakers on that team. The other first team all-conference member that I mentioned was Hunt. He was the best ERA on the team at 4.11, a 7-5 record throughout the year. Another pitcher that pitched for 81 innings. He only allowed 72 hits, 25 walks, did have over 100 strikeouts. So again, maybe I would kind of be surprised if we don't see him against the Warriors, because again, this isn't a team that you can really take lightly. If you're Freedman, you got to go out with your best guns against the arguably the top five team in the nation, literally coming into the World Series. So I'm really excited to see what the Warriors have. Again, like you mentioned, the end of the conference maybe wasn't what they wanted, but again, you have pretty much been the second best team in the best conference when it comes to baseball all year. And while Southeastern, I'm sure, was happy with how the ending went, I don't think they're going to expect another one like that again if these two teams were to meet at some point in May.
No, I mean, we saw what a great matchup those were the first four times. Of course, Southeastern got them all, but those were great matchups in Babson Park. Yeah, I just think the boys ran out of a little juice there in the conference tournament, which, you know, funny, is something I talked about. Now, Weber has no right to this excuse at all because they haven't won the conference tournament recently Yeah, I mean, at all. But I looked at a lot of teams, more on the softball side, obviously I got my finger on the pulse of that pretty well. You saw a lot where you had one seeds. I looked at Our Lady of the Lake and the Red River, Oklahoma City and the Sooner Athletic, Oregon Tech and the Cascade. Even Central Methodist lost a game and had to go through the elimination bracket to win their softball conference tournament. Heck, we saw it with Coastal Georgia, but now they weren't a one seed. They're obviously a three seed traveling. You see a lot of these one seeds. It's like, does this conference tournament title matter? Now, you can't give Weber baseball that excuse at all, because none of them have won it. But it's still, when you have that feeling where it's like, hey, we know we're a one seed and we don't really care what happens here in this conference tournament. We want to get back to either Lewiston or Columbus for softball. There's just that little mental aspect of it where it's a little tougher to turn on, which I get. But Manny, once again, this just the Southeastern Invitational. It didn't matter if it was in West Palm or if it was in Fort Myers. Southeastern Head and Shoulders, the best team in the Sun Conference tournament. They're playing their best baseball of the season right now. Their lineup looks unreal, which has been the thing everybody's knocked Southeastern on, surprisingly, this year. And by surprisingly, I mean we knew that this lineup probably wouldn't be what it was 2 years ago or last year, but there were points this year. It's like, wow, this is not a Southeastern lineup at all. But boy, they've turned it on late. They're getting hot at the right time, and they're heading out to Lincoln, Nebraska. Our friend Carly Fitzer might actually be going to watch a little Southeastern baseball, see what all the hype's about.
That's so nice. That's good.
Yeah. So Manny, let's tell the rest of the conference and anybody else listening a little bit about the Fire, the number one overall seed in the NAIA baseball tournament.
Yeah, number one for a reason. 48-6 this year. They only lost one game in conference play, and it was when the Lions just had an out of body experience and they just really gave everything they had against the Fire. Otherwise, it's been the Southeastern Conference for the past 5 years now, with their fifth regular season and conference championship. Pitcher of the year, like you mentioned, Darian Smith, no real surprise there. Again, to lose to him in that award is no shame, because he has been pitching an absolute masterclass all year. Coach of the year, Adrian Dinkle. It all starts at the top. When you have a person like him at the helm, it just trickles down. And, you know, we mentioned a few things. Maybe not the same lineup. Maybe it's not the same team. You still had 8 first-team all-conference members. You had 2 more second-team all-conference members. And while maybe you look at the batting and you were thinking it's not the same Southeastern team from last year, some could argue if you look at it from a different perspective, you're even more dangerous, because now you understand, like, this entire lineup has a level of hitting, a level of power behind them. You have 7 players who scored 30 plus runs. You had 8 players who had over 40 hits, 6 players with 200 more doubles, 6 players with 30 or more RBIs. I can go on and on. And almost everybody had an above 300 batting average. Again, maybe not the 400s we saw last year, but when you have, and I'm not talking about above 300, I'm talking about 350s and above. I'm not talking about 301s, 302s. I'm talking about clear cut over 300. That can be arguably more dangerous, because as a pitcher, now you're like, all right, we got through maybe the quote unquote best part of the lineup. Yeah, well, you still got 300s back there in 7, 8, 9, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really fall off for the Southeastern Fire. So they've done it again. They're going into there. I think they're the favorites. I don't think anybody's going to question that. Now they just kind of wait either between number 4, Mount Mercy, and number 5, St. Francis, to see who the Fire will play. Their game will be at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That will be Tuesday, because they do not play tomorrow because of this is day off. I think baseball starts, so they will be playing Tuesday. Yeah. For those opponents that we just mentioned, Mount Mercy, 32-20, 23-9 in conference. They actually played Weber this year, earlier this season, in a 4-game series. Warriors were able to win that one 1-3, though. Mount Mercy had an automatic bid after they won the Hart tournament. It's actually going to be their first appearance. They have 5 all-conference members, including a Golden Glove winner in their catcher. St. Francis, 29-19 overall record. They also won their conference tournament. It'll be the first time they actually won it since 2012. So they're kind of coming in a little bit of a good streak here, a good nice stretch. They're back-to-back regular season champions, 11 award winners, including 7 all-conference, 2 individual awards, including the pitcher and coach of the year, and a gold glove winner. So these teams, even though they're the 4-5, and obviously Southeastern is going to be picked to be the favorite in these matchups, whoever the winner is, you know, it's sometimes like you mentioned, we're in a point of the year where you can throw the numbers out the window. Whoever wants it more, who's ever going to capitalize on mistakes, even though you're going to have to play pretty much near perfect baseball against Southeastern, we have seen crazier things happen. So, but I still think the Fire are going to be the favorites, not just in opening rounds, but all the way through the World Series. It runs through Southeastern.
Yeah, Manny, I mean, another fantastic year for the Fire, but really the only team that gave them real trouble, you mentioned Flomo, but the only team to take a series were the Reinhardt Eagles, and that's the first-round matchup for the Kaiser Seahawks, who after a brief opening round hiatus last year, they are back this year, and they have their work cut out for them. And you talk about one of the best teams in NAI baseball, another team a lot of all conference members here. You look at, I mean, the last senior leadership, you look right at the top of the lineup with a guy named Jarrett Burney, who had 22 stolen bases. He also had 7 home runs, and batted .379 this year. You know, kind of what I alluded to earlier, Reinhardt was one of those teams fell just short of winning their conference tournament that went to who won that? Tennessee Wesleyan. So Weber, who has to go face them, but a ton of talent up and down this Reinhardt team, a ton of power. Now, obviously, the AAC, a pretty weak conference once you get past the top two there, and Reinhardt and Tennessee Wesleyan, with all due respect. But you look at Nash Kroll. I believe Nash was the guy that took the 100 miles an hour off the face. Against Southeastern, then hit a walk-off grand slam about a week later. But I mean, he had 21 home runs this year, and along that with Nash, 64 RBIs while batting .348. They have another excellent outfielder in Dylan Lewis, who batted .342 this season with 20 home runs. So they got 220 plus home run guys. They get to play at their home ballpark. When you look at the flip side for Reinhardt, they got a couple of pretty good pitchers. One of the better underclassmen in NAI baseball this year, Andrew Herbert, redshirt sophomore, pitched 68 1/3 innings for the Eagles. He went 9-1 with a 1.71 ERA. Brett Allen, another really good junior. So a couple of guys that they may have for a couple of years. Reinhardt, obviously, always a strong team. Allen, a guy that comes out of the bullpen. He had 6 saves, really strong. But he also he had 69 innings. So a guy that's done extended bullpen work for them, has done an excellent job. A comparison would be what Seth Lovell has done for Weber this year. So they have a really strong guy there. Another guy that their other two starters for them, Alex Galvis, another sophomore, had a strong year. He had 10 starts, but you can see that their work with him, he seems like more of what you would call an opener, a term that's been used more and more recently in the baseball world. Is he has a 10 starts, but he only has 36 2/3 innings pitched, but 3.19 ERA. Other than that, it's a lot of pitching by committee for them. They have another guy, another starter in Ben Medley, who has struggled this year. He has an ERA north of 6. He has the most innings pitched in 71 for the Eagles. So what I see a lot with the pitching staff for Reinhardt, they have a lot of top-end talent, but then it drops off. I'd love to see for Kaiser, which we know that lineup can get on you in a little bit. Manny, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about Kaiser's lineup here in a little bit. Go ahead and get all that up. But just looking more into the staff, a lot of righties against that Kaiser lineup. I like it a lot. The only left-handed pitchers that have seen much action for Reinhardt this year, Hunter Paulson, who has in 30 innings has a 9.6 ERA. But again, this is a team that's so deadly when it comes to what they can do offensively. I already mentioned some of their power guys, and let's see that they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with at least 8 stolen bases. Jacob Prophet has 11. I already mentioned Jarrett, who has over 20. And when you go in the home run department, I mean, Jarrett with 7, Tucker, Dunchick with 14, Dylan Lewis 20, Nash Kroll 21, Lance Dockery 9, Matt Morari 6, Luis Mendoza 7. So a lot of guys that can hurt you, a lot of speed. This is one of the best lineups in NAI baseball. And when you look at it just from an overall team standpoint, it's a team that's drawn 290 walks while only striking out 348 times. That's a pretty good ratio, batting 331 as a team. It's going to be really tough, but you know, obviously some guys or a guy for Kaiser that's going to need to step up here. It's going to be Danny Galvin. Another great year for Danny. Manny, let's talk a little bit about him and a couple of other arms for the Seahawks, and then the lineup who's going to need to step up for Kaiser if they're going to find themselves back in Lewis and pulling off the upset here in Georgia.
I mean, you mentioned Danny, 4.11 ERA this year, 6-5 record. He's been another pitcher and seen a trend here, 81 innings pitched. He only has 16 walks against him, 92 strikeouts. So, and you mentioned the kind of pitching by committee for the Eagles. I feel like it's a little bit of the opposite for the Seahawks. You know, obviously, you just mentioned Danny. You also have Chuck Fishbow, 4.28 ERA. Those are really the only two that were consistently used. Obviously, that there's a deep pitching for the Seahawks, but those were the two that they relied on the most. When we talk about a combined 13-7 win-loss record for those two, a combined 45 appearances between those two. So that's really where the Seahawks are going to hold their hat on. Again, as the fourth seed, I fully expect them to go out, you know, with their best guns to start out. And then we talk about the batting. This team, four all-conference members, but they are led by, and I think it starts with Jamonte Woods, the leader in batting average at 371. He also has 14 doubles, 8 home runs, 54 RBIs. He's going to be looked at to really be a big part of this batting. And then after him is going to be Pablo Ruiz, where 340 batting average, again, very solid for sure, but I'm going to be looking more so for him for the stolen bases. 24 for 26. My guy's a grade A thief, and he is, if he's able to get on base, he is going to be putting pressure on those catchers, putting pressure on the infield for whoever they're playing against. And if he's able to get to second base, put himself in scoring position, and we can have hitters like Simon Greenberg, like Seth Lacuro, like Edbury Guzman, those type of hitters who are all hitting above a 300, who all have 30-plus RBIs, that's where the Seahawks are going to have to try and put some pressure on this team. It's going to be an upset for sure if they're able to pull it off. I will say, I'm not going to say that they are the flat-out toughest fourth seed in baseball, because I have not been following it enough to be able to say that, but I will say they are a stronger fourth seed than I think some people would argue against. Again, they were receiving votes for the whole year. They were probably the third best team in the conference. Obviously, you had a couple of slip-ups here and there. You had some series that you definitely shouldn't have lost, but they were able to rally. They were able to put it together, and now they are in the World Series hunt. Just got to get past his opening rounds. Tough matchup for sure to start things off, but I think the Seahawks, the way they've been going, they respond well to adversity, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this lineup, with this pitching, what this team is going to prove and give us a nice showing for all Sun Conference fans out there.
Yeah, I mean, a 13-1 win against Weber speaks for itself, and obviously that's the worst day of baseball we've had all season, but whatever. I mean, they got us fair and square. They beat the crap out of us, no problem. But yeah, it'd be an upset. Reinhardt's a phenomenal team. But Manny, let's get this rolling. Let's talk a little bit about softball. So obviously I'm up here in Williamsburg. Start with that. We'll talk about first the host, the Cumberland's Patriots, the team to go through here. 97.2 fielding percentage as a squad. No one on this team has more than 8 errors, and that's their freshman shortstop, who's fielding at a 94% click. Kind of repeating some information that y'all probably heard on the NAISB podcast here, but key for them, for the Patriots, is their starting pitcher, Tally Burgess, 14-0, a .86 whip, was pretty much the unhittable, I would say the best pitcher throughout March and April. She had a really bad start to the year, a really bad conference tournament, but everything in between there has been phenomenal. How healthy she is and what she's looking at is going to be key for the Patriots. But just looking at, and I've got to be brief with this lineup, because good Lord, I could go through each one of them. Two girls actually did a little mic'd up content with today, Jade and Amber Gaynor. Manny, you'd love them. Remember when Blaine Huter had the weekend off and he came up with me to do some coverage for NAISB? His biggest takeaway were these two girls for Cumberland's, how fast they are. If you hit a ball to left center field, it better get down in a hurry. They fly around. God, I was trying to chase them around with the camera today. I was like, late. I haven't jogged since November. Y'all got to call. I'm a full of muscle doing this.
Oh, man.
But Jade batting 432 with 8 home runs, 54 RBIs. Amber 394 with 18 doubles, 26 for 28 swiping bags. Carly Oliver really shows all about how fundamentally sound this team is. A ton of fun to watch at second base. 88 assists and 0 errors. She's also batting 354 with 17 doubles and 8 home runs. Amber Adkins, their catcher, 394, 8 home runs, 51 RBIs. Like I said, ton I could talk about with that lineup. I'll leave it there. Let's talk a little bit about Coastal Georgia. This has been one of the most disciplined teams that I've watched over the last couple of years. That's their MO. They have the best eyes, I think, of anybody in the country, which is saying a lot. I mean, there's some really disciplined lineup, but if you don't throw strikes, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And if you do throw strikes, you better be careful who you throw them to. Because if you throw one down the middle to Bryce Peacock, it's going to be a tough day. 397, 9 home runs, 41 RBIs for the Sun Conference Player of the Year. Once again, she got done in the circle, 2.52 ERA and 141 innings pitched. Riley Mills, I like to call her little mini Bryce, because that's just the next one that Mike Smenick's going to have. Had a phenomenal year, very similar numbers to Bryce. Not quite the power numbers, but still 371, 40 RBIs, really good in the circle, 2.1 ERA, and 102 innings pitched. Rory Rhodes, another phenomenal year, bat 345 with 24 stolen bases. They'll be going up against the Benedictine Ravens out of the heart of America, their first time in. Paul Hunt, got to talk a little bit about him. He's super excited. He talked with Mike Minnick for the first time today. Him and Mike got it off pretty well. I said, you'll love them, but you're going to hate them during the 7 innings tomorrow. But I can't wait for that matchup. Looking a bit at the Ravens, they got a phenomenal catcher in Bailey Knorr, had 7 home runs, 47 RBIs, 16 doubles. Claire Heights, player that easily could have won player of the year in the heart of America, 8 home runs, 420 batting average for her. Cassidy James, really good third baseman, a great glove, 345 batting average, 23 stolen bases. My X factor for this tournament, as I said on AISB, Rhiannon Martin. Said your name right, Rihanna. It's just on the podcast you don't list to. A little inside joke there. There's something about her name that I always mess up. I always go Rihanna on her side. It's just always one I mess up. A little inside joke there for my NAISB people. But Ree Martin, 9 home runs this year as a freshman. She's my X factor. And they have a really good pitcher, Bailey Selvidge, buck 40 ERA at 162 innings pitch. She has 180 strikeouts. Girl, I'm really, really high on, but man, I think there's gonna be a lot of runs scored. I want to kind of get rolling here, Manny. So I'm not gonna go too much in Tennessee Wesleyan or St. Francis, but let's move on, Manny. Let's talk about your Bobcats. They're going up against Oregon Tech, phenomenal team. Let's just talk about let's not talk too much about the Owls. Let's just talk about that matchup for St. Thomas.
No, yeah, obviously the Bobcats, along with Coastal and Southeastern, they all got the third seed in the respective region, so they'll all be playing the second seeds starting tomorrow. For St. Thomas, obviously, we got to talk about them winning the Sun Conference tournament. They were absolutely amazing. They were impressive. Anna Toon rightfully earned for Pitcher of the Year honors. She was an absolute stud, not just in the circle, but in the box. Any shape she was in, honestly, could have been a triangle. She would have been just absolutely stellar. I do think, though, the biggest takeaway for me personally was two things for the Bobcats, and that's what I'm going to be looking at when they face the Vanguard Bears coming up here in less than 24 hours.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh, my.
Yeah, there go my. Yeah. It's going to be – it's two things. For the pitching, it's Melody Biscaino. She thoroughly impressed me in that championship game against Southeastern Fire. She was a big X factor because even though she didn't finish the game, she gave Anna the ability to just have to pitch 2 innings. You know, you really save her arm and it comes because Melody's able to go 4, I believe maybe even 6 innings of work. And here comes the pitcher of the year to pretty much close it out. And she's comfortable. She's cool. She's relaxed. And that's what ended up happening. And on the flip side, offensively, I've never seen the St. Thomas Bobcats play small ball the way they did. In the top of the 7th, to go into that after the Fire just tied the game, they have all the momentum. We're talking about a team in Southeastern who we'll talk about in a minute here. They ran through the loser's bracket. They ran through it. They ran 3 games on Friday to get to Saturday. They have all the momentum. You had 2 out of the 3 wins being walk-off variations. You couldn't really be more scared of any other team than the Southeastern Fire.
Sure.
And to come in, the bunting, the base running, all of it was just executed at perfection, completely down the list. Bianca Palacio, Natalie Kopisova, even Anna Toon, everybody that stepped up to the box executed perfectly. And that allowed this St. Thomas team to put the nail in the coffin with the Destiny Falquez three-run homer that was an absolute nuke the second it hit off the bat. So if this Bobcat offense can have similar success, I really like their chances. I know they're not going to be picked in this region. Of course not. Let's be realistic here. But they are able to, again, ride the hand of Anna Toon. If Melody is able to have that same type of success, nothing crazy, just have the second team, could even argue first team all conference performances she had throughout the year, and the batting be able to be what it was. I like this Bobcats team's chances come down because they have the fielding to be able to do it. They have an outfield that can cover a lot of ground. And this Bobcat team is just, at the end of the day, scrappy. They embody what the coach of the year, JC Gutierrez, is and what he likes to play.
Yeah, I mean, we got coach of the year, players of the year, pitchers of the year in this opening round, and they're going to have their work cut out for them with one of the most feared arms on the West Coast, and then AI and Brianna Williams. Phenomenal, phenomenal arm for Vanguard. She went 20-5, 1.46 ERA, 140 strikeouts. Look, I do think Oregon Tech's coming out of this bracket no matter what, but man, this would be a huge, huge win for St. Thomas. Go out there, beat Vanguard, something to really build off of. And if you, hey, just get yourself in that winner's bracket, see what happens. Make Oregon Tech go beat whoever wins the 4-5 matchup, and then go see you after you get to see them a little bit. My biggest advice for St. Thomas going out there to Klamath Falls, and just eat the travel like a champ. Get you some melatonin, get some good sleep. Take melatonin, and seriously, I know that I don't know if I should be promoting that or not, but
it's all good spirit. He just did the drive.
I'm just talking about personal experience. Yes, because if you don't, you're going to wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Like that was maybe my first couple of nights. I was waking up at 3 o'clock. So it's like, hey, just a little bit, take that melatonin, get some deep sleep. Your body clock is not going to be able to adjust that quickly.
And I've talked to a few of the players, and you know, that first night was a tough one. You know, they went in two groups because they'd be able to get out there, and the jet lag was a thing. You know, maybe they didn't feel it that first night, but that next morning, you know, it definitely comes at you. That extra hour is crazy. So, yeah, I've relayed the information, and some of them I know, you know, they've trying to do their own little techniques, their own little methods to stay asleep. So hopefully they can get that rest that they need.
Yeah, let's look at Southeastern real quick and wrap it up here, Manny. The Fire, they are going into what I think personally is the best, the most exciting, the most likely we'll see upsets, a lot of fun. As you all know or may not know, I'm a huge pitching guy in softball. I think this is one of the best pitching opening rounds in AI softball. From you look at the bottom with Emily Hamp at Spring Arbor and Brooklyn Fisher from Missouri Baptist. You look at the 3-seed Southeastern Fire with Eden Playa, with Autumn Hunter, with Claire Seckinger, and Claire's throwing the best I think I've ever seen Claire throw, which is very frightening. And then you have, in my opinion, three of the top seven arms. I'll say two of the top five arms and another top 10 arm with the 1 and 2 seeds. Of course, talking about Annalise Jarvis for Georgia Gwinnett, who, my word.
I looked at that number that you sent me of her ERA, and I thought it was a typo. I thought it was a typo.
What, 0.59?
I thought that was a typo. I said, excuse me? Wow.
Yeah, 0.59. I mean, Annalise, reigning pitcher of the year in the NAI. Going to be tough for Southeastern. They are right out of the gates, but excuse me. You look at the 1 seed and that opening round with Kylie Parsons, and who I think is that pitcher in that maybe 5-10 range, and then Kaylee Hoskins, who's my pick for NAI pitcher of the year. Manny, what makes that duo so deadly is you have Hoskins throwing 64, 65 mile an hour fastball with a very effective rise ball. She can get a little wild at times, but when she has command, especially if the umpire is giving her the top of the zone, maybe a little bit above, it's going to be a tough day. Then you mix in Parsons, who's mixing in really good spin right there at the bottom of the knees, some of the best command in that low of the zone. You know, you have to have, if you're going to attack low in the zone, you better make sure you're keeping it low. And she does. She was the best player in the Cascade Tournament, in my opinion, which is the best conference for NAI softball. Like I said, y'all know I wave that Sun Conference banner proudly, and I will in just about any other sports, but I have to concede in softball to the Cascade. You got to give a little. I take a lot. I take a lot. I take a lot, brother. Give some. I take a lot.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, man, it's going to be a fun one. Certainly one that I can see Southeastern winning, Manny. And in fact, I look at the three Sun Conference teams, and I think the Southeastern Fire have the best shot of being in Columbus. Like I said, it's going to be a wide open opening round of, like, it's very, very tough pitchers, but there's not a team faster. There's not a team that puts pressure on a defense better. There's not a team that steals more bases. There's not a team that the top of the lineup frightens me contact wise more. And I think for Georgia Gwinnett and for I'll say more for Eastern Oregon, because I definitely want to say the defense for Georgia Gwinnett's top notch. But for Eastern Oregon, I think there's some places every now and then they could be a little vulnerable defensively in the infield. And if Southeastern takes advantage of that, Manny, I could see the Fire back in Columbus again this year. I mean, they play that small ball style as good as any, which has been an art that I've grown to appreciate. And like I said, if I'm picking a team in softball to make it out, I'd pick Southeastern. Now, and there's no need for me to lie. Y'all can go listen to the NAI SB opening round episode. I did not pick a Sun Conference team. I hope I'm proven wrong. But a very tall task, especially for Coastal Georgia. I think this is one. It's a 2-3 matchups. One of the better 2-3 matchups in the NAI softball opening round. Not to mention the Cumberland Patriots, who have consistently been, in my opinion, one of the top 3-4 teams in the country. I've had the Pats in my Final Four for all of the year. I'm just killing all the NCAA trademarks here this episode. Jesus.
It's fine. Honestly, if we get an issue from it, I think we're doing something right. If they start hearing about it, we're doing something right. We're doing something right.
You're right.
So let me ask you this then, to I guess wrap up the episode. Of the three softball matchups, do you think Coastal is the toughest one? They have the toughest one?
Are you talking about just like in their first matchup?
Yeah, just the first matchup. Yeah, we'll just talk about the first matchup, honestly.
That's a good question, man. They all have great pitchers with sub-2 ERAs, but I mean, I think hitting off Annalise Jarvis might be the toughest thing to do for any of them. But I look at the lineup. I mean, Southeastern's lineup is head and shoulders above Georgia Gwinnett's. Really interested to see what Kayla Watkins goes with. If she throws Eden first, if she goes clear first, I don't know. I think either one would have success against the Georgia Gwinnett lineup. So I'm just interested to see what she does there. The thing is, you just can't let them get hot, because if they have a big three-run inning, they have a two-run inning, and that might be all Annalise needs. So we'll see. But I do think overall bracket wise, no doubt, they're zero doubt in my mind. St. Thomas has got the toughest one, because you got to go play Vanguard, who's got a great number one. We didn't really go into their lineup too much, but the solid lineup, and then you have to go beat Oregon Tech. At Oregon Tech, after traveling literally from one point of the continent to the other point of the continent, it's going to be tough. It's a tall task for all three Sun Conference teams in both baseball and softball. But yeah, I'd go with that kind of long answer. Short.
I for sure. The only silver lining for my Bobcats, it's not snowing. Reagan, you got all the snow. Thank you for taking it all out of you. We appreciate you. You did your job. We appreciate you, my guy. You went out there, said, let me take all this snow, and we'll be fine. We will be fine. Oh, man.
It's beautiful up there. Congratulations to all the teams we've talked about. I know we didn't talk too much about track. I know we got some folks ahead in track nationals. We'll talk more World Series. We'll talk some more about the about men's golf next episode before we go into the summer. Again, Manny, thank you for everything, man. Everybody listening, appreciate y'all. Keep up with everything. Manny's gonna be a busy guy next couple of days on the Suncast Twitter and Instagram once again. But you're good, by the way. You ready for tomorrow? Ready to rock and roll this week?
We ready. We've been waiting. I've been itching for the past couple of days, man. Been itching.
Right. Much later, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all have a great rest of your night. Morning notice is going up a little bit later in the evening for Sunday, but y'all enjoy, hope you enjoyed the episode and enjoy the opening rounds. You find Sun Conference website, the school's websites, NAI.org. But yeah, all right. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Manny, appreciate you, man.
Always.